Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Sharpen your axe.
And once it's sharpened, don't forget to use it. That's the next principle, verse 11. If the snake bites before it's charmed, then there's no advantage to the charmer. Well, we can agree with that, right? It's kind of a funny proverb. It's good to improve your skills, but keep in mind, the reason you're honing these skills is so that you can actually use them. So don't get so carried away with sharpening your axe that you never get around to actually cutting down the tree. You know, people do that. Some people get so caught up in training, that's all they ever want to do is learn and train and read. I went to snake charming school. I got all these advanced degrees. I got a PhD in snake charming. I wrote 2 books on this subject. I'm one of the top experts. They put me on TV and ask me questions. And I got to tell you, this snake right here, this is one of the most venomous, poisonous, life-threatening snakes alive. And I'm going to show you, I've developed a technique with this thing that I can render that thing use. I can get total control over. And all of a sudden, chomp! Oh. Now I'm going to die. I forgot to charm the snake. I never got around to actually using all these skills. My axe is razor sharp. I never actually swung it, and now I got bit, and I'm going to die. See, there's a time for training, and there's a time for action. We live in a culture that worships education, and which is unfortunate because every high school student feels like, oh, I got to spend years in college. Which is sad because the majority of college degrees are worthless. Most college degrees never pay for themselves. You'd have earned just as much money without that degree, and you would have saved yourself 4 years and $100,000. And many times it's not 4 years. More and more, it's not 4 years, right? It's 10 years in a lot of cases. You get these professional students. It's like, yeah, I've been a student here for 7 years, and I'm already starting to hone in on my major. I think I'm starting to know what I want to pursue. Training is great if you need training for the particular task you're going to do. Don't go to college unless you know for sure what your task is and what training you need. Then go and get your training. But don't lose sight of the fact that the purpose of the training is the working. And we always need to be ready to act when it's time to act, so we don't end up like this snake charmer. One of the things a wise person knows is that what he knows is worthless if he doesn't put it into action. Right? That's part of wisdom. It's great to sharpen your axe, but at some point you need to say, okay, it's sharp enough, I need to start chopping. So verse 11 really balances verse 10. It's wise to sharpen your axe, but it's foolish to take too long to act. Sometimes it's best to back off from acting and take some time to do a little planning and some preparing and getting ready and learning and sharpening your axe. Sometimes that's good. Other times it's best to put the books away and act before it's too late. And the snake bites someone. See, being too slow to act can cause a problem and can come back to bite you, especially if you're a snake handler. But not having a sharp enough axe can also be a problem. So how do you know the difference? How do I know when I should hold off from acting and do some more preparation and planning, or when I should stop all that and go ahead and act? How do I know when to make that call? And the answer is, obviously it's case by case, but if you're wise enough to understand the value of a sharp axe, and you're also wise enough to know the urgency of acting before it's too late, you understand both of those, then you'll tend to make the right judgment call on when to do one or the other. And so that's why he gives us both of these proverbs. He gives verse 11 and verse 10. So that you can make the right call when you have to. See, getting to the point of taking action, actually putting something into practice, that's the hardest thing, isn't it, in life? I mean, isn't that our greatest obstacle most of the time? Isn't it true that for most of us, we already know the solution to our biggest problems? It's just a matter of doing it. You know, some of you don't. Some of you, you've got a problem right now in your life, and you're just perplexed. You have no idea what to do. You don't know what the solution is. That happens to us sometimes. But more often, it's just a situation where we know exactly what the solution to our problem is. We just can't get ourselves to do it. Right? Doesn't that happen? I'm out of shape. It's not one of the great mysteries of the universe what the solution to this problem is. Right? If I crawled up on top of some mountain and found the smartest guru in the world and I asked him, tell me the secret, I'm out of shape, what do I do? I know exactly what he's going to say. He's going to say, try a few push-ups, right? Or keep climbing up here. It's not rocket science. I know exactly what the solution is. I just won't do it. I just can't get myself to do it. Wisdom isn't just knowing the solution. Wisdom is knowing and doing it, doing what you know. And that's an emphasis in the New Testament. In fact, that's how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. Greatest sermon ever preached. And the concluding statement in that sermon is all about the connection between wisdom and putting knowledge into practice. That's verse 24 of Matthew 7. He says, therefore, big conclusion, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And what does his life look like? Well, the rain came down, streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house, and it did not fall because it has foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What does it look like when a house falls with a great crash? The house represents your life, right? What does it look like? People say, why can't I get a handle on the storms of life? The storms, the troubles of life hit me, and I crumble like a house of cards. I can't handle it. I don't get it because I read my Bible, I study, I read books, I pray, I come to church, I take notes on the sermons, I got all this stuff figured out. I'm learning all the same thing that guy's learning, and yet when trouble hits that guy's life, he stands firm like a rock, and I crumble. Why? What's the difference? They don't faze him, they knock me down. Why? And Jesus said, both these people hear the same word. See, it's not just that the fool doesn't learn the Bible. He's learning the Bible. He's learning all the same stuff as the wise man. He knows this information. The only difference, the wise man in verse 24 hears the word. The fool in verse 26 hears the word. They both hear. The only difference is the wise man puts it into practice. That's the only difference between the two. The starting point of all wisdom is hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and putting them into practice. You say, well, what are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he say? Well, you want the summary? You can summarize in two words. Follow me. Follow me. He called everyone to repent, turn from their sin, and live a life of trusting him more than you trust yourself. Trusting him enough to actually follow him. That's crucial to understand, because not only is that the starting point of wisdom, but it's the power that enables you to put things into practice. Most people get this. Most people understand. The difficulty is putting what they know into action. They know that. Most people understand that even if you learn with every wisdom principle that there is, you memorize the book of Proverbs, you know it all, just deciding to do it is never enough. Right? You know that. That happens all the time. You sit in these very chairs and you say, wow, I got to start doing that. And what happens? It doesn't happen. Why? Where does the power come from that will enable me to actually do this stuff? Well, the answer is this. The power source, as Christians, we understand the power source is the Holy Spirit, right? That's a source. How do we gain access to that source? How do we tap into that power? By faith, yes, good. Faith, it's always through faith. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Okay, so that word accept, note that word in verse 14. Accept, he does not accept. When you read something in the Bible, when you learn something in a sermon, you might understand the principle, you might have it down, you can memorize it, you could teach it, you could explain it to others, you've got it down, it's in your head. But your heart, the way we're naturally born, your heart is not naturally capable of accepting it so that it becomes a part of the fabric of your whole belief system. When you know something is true, but you can't seem to live accordingly, that's a sign that your heart hasn't fully accepted that truth. It hasn't sunk in. And only the Holy Spirit is capable of making a heart able to accept a truth. Only the Spirit can do that. That's the point of 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 14. And the only way to have the Holy Spirit in you is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ more than you trust yourself, trusting him enough to follow him. That's faith. Galatians 3:14. By faith, we receive the promise of the Spirit. So when you give up living for yourself and you turn to Christ in repentance and faith, at that moment, what happened? You receive the Holy Spirit and you actually receive a new nature that's capable of responding to the Spirit. And then from that point on, that's conversion. That's when you become a Christian. That makes you able to put this stuff into practice. And then from that point on, the more you trust, the greater the power. The more you trust, the greater the power of the Spirit in your life. So put your faith in Him. As we go through these wisdom principles, these ones and then the ones next time and the time after that, just trust His Word. And that will enable you to live wisely by doing things like staying calm when someone gets mad at you, expecting trouble, sharpening your axe, and using your axe. Let's pray. Thank You for giving us wisdom, Lord, in Your Word. Thank You for teaching us. Forgive us for the folly in our lives, Lord, and I pray that You would enable us to go from this place and put these things into action so that we might have lives that are not disheveled and are not dishonoring to You, but are ordered and structured and wise to Your glory. For we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
One question for you to think about on today's podcast. Do you tend to err on the side of too much preparation or too much whacking away with a dull axe? If you've listened to the last 2 days, yesterday's podcast was about when we don't sharpen our tools and we don't get enough training. Today's was about when we get too much training and we don't use our tools. Which side of that do you tend to err the most on, and what do you think the Lord would have you do? Hope you can make it again tomorrow for the Q&A that came after this sermon. Here are some of the questions that were asked. When is it loving to confront somebody with something that they are doing that bothers you? Or when should you just overlook it? Number 2, Jesus told us not to call people fools, and yet Scripture requires us to discern fools and to deal with them in a certain way. So we have to identify fools, and yet we're not allowed to call someone a fool. Jesus called people fools. How do we sort that out? And then, how do you stay calm when the person isn't attacking you, but they're attacking someone you love, and are the standards different in that case? This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download. We're currently in need of 10 of you who would be willing to help us with $50 a month and 2 others who could give $100 a month. We've never asked for support before on the podcast, but we are at a point now where we need some help. So please pray about whether God would have you be one of those 12 who could enable this ministry to continue. And, of course, one-time gifts are also a great help.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.